4. The Temple, City of Zion, the Temple Lands. Robert Ducairne wondered if he would ever again cross the Plaza of Martyrs without recalling the bloody horror of Erik Dinas's execution. The chill bite of fall lay heavy on the City of Zion, despite the sunniness of the day, but his shiver had nothing to do with the temperature as he gazed up at the soaring colonnade of the Temple of God and the mirror-polished dome beyond it, with the heroic sculpture of the Archangel Langhorn raising the scepter of his holy authority high, and remembered that dreadful day. Then he paused in place, eyes closing in silent prayer, although he could not have said exactly what it was for which he prayed. Troubling times, he thought to himself as he opened his eyes once more and continued across the plaza towards the temple. Troubling times, and frightening ones. The triteness of his own thoughts was irritating, yet that made them no less accurate. The strength of his newly refound faith helped, and he'd found many passages of the writ of tremendous comfort, but not a single scriptural passage told him what he ought to be doing. "Well, Robert, that's not quite accurate, is it?" he thought sardonically. "You know exactly what you ought to be doing. The only question is how you go about doing it." He paused again, the spray of the countless fountains chilly as the brisk breeze blew it across him, and gazed at the very spot where Dinas had died. The fallen archbishop's execution had been the most horrible thing Ducairne had ever seen, ever imagined. He was no Schulerite. He'd read the penalties the Archangel Schuler had ruled must be meted out to the apostate and the heretic, yet he'd never allowed his mind to dwell upon them. They'd been one of those unpleasant aspects of life, something the writ called for, but which Robert Ducairne had never expected to actually see, far less help to inflict. And he had helped. There were times, especially when the dreams came in the middle of the night, when he longed to pretend he hadn't. But the decision to execute Dinas had been made by the group of four, and so Robert Ducairne bore his share of the blood guilt. Worse, he was fully aware that the initial decision to execute the former Archbishop of Carus had been made as a matter of pragmatism, an act of expediency. And Dinas's final words, his defiance of the Grand Inquisitor from the very lip of the grave, those worried Ducairne. The man had been promised an easy death, or at least an easier one, if only he'd played his part. Ducairne hadn't been supposed to know about that arrangement, but he had, and that made Dinas's defiance even more perplexing. Unless, of course, the most obvious explanation was also the correct one, and the man had actually believed what he'd said. "Which he undoubtedly did," Ducairne told himself, gazing at the spot where the tortured wreck of a human being had finally been permitted to die. "That's what truly torments you about it, isn't it, Robert? Whatever's happening now, you and the other three, set it into motion. Whatever Carus has done since you and your friends orchestrated the attack upon it, you were the ones who began it. You pushed Carus into its damnable actions. Any animal will fight for its life, for the lives of its young, if you push it into a corner, and that's exactly what you did to Carus, and Dinas knew it. Not only knew it, but had the courage to proclaim it, even after the Inquisition had decreed his death." It was a thought which had come to him frequently of late, and with the strength of his reborn faith, he made himself face it head on once again. He'd prayed to God and to Langhorne, begging them to forgive him for the disastrous decisions which had provoked the unthinkable, but the fact that he deeply and sincerely repented his responsibility for them did nothing to relieve him of his responsibility to do something about them. it would have been his duty to confront the disaster and to somehow bring the Church of God Awaiting victoriously through the ordeal which faced her, no matter how it had come about. The part he'd played in provoking that ordeal only made his responsibility deeper. "And however difficult the journey may be," he told himself once again, "ultimately there can be only one destination. This is God's church, instituted by the archangels themselves for the salvation of all men's souls. Whatever those misguided souls in Corus may believe, Mother Church must be preserved intact. And because she must, she will. There can be no other outcome. As long as we who defend her remain true to her, to the writ, to the archangels, and to God." He believed that. He knew that. What he didn't know was whether or not God would ever forgive him for the acts to which he had already set his hand. He looked one more time at the spot where Erech Dinas had died his gruesome death, wondering how many others the Inquisition would send to the same dreadful fate before the challenge to Mother Church's rightful supremacy had been dealt with. Then he shook his head, tucked his hands into the warm comfort of his cassock's full sleeves, and continued on his way.